Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I love the excitement here. It is tremendous spirit. Amen. What a great song that was just sung. What great singing. What a wonderful fellowship. It is good to have guests that are here. I think one lady down here was called Grandma. You look young. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have both of those attributes, to have a heritage of a family and to still have your youthfulness as well. So what a blessing. It's good to have Christian leaders from Tennessee there, and that is a blessing. I thank God for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I'm overwhelmed by the opportunity. I'm thankful for the ministry of what all is happening at Hiles Anderson College. Got to come to the Valentine banquet here recently, and the gifting and the ability to sing and to act, and just a transfer of biblical message is phenomenal. And I'm so proud of you, and love you and the Lord. I'm thankful for our president, Brother Douglas, and thank God for him. And amen. Occasionally, there's those that invest in you, and you don't know why. And such is the case with my relationship with Brother Douglas. I've probably disappointed him more times than I've pleased him, but he's always been an encouragement to me, and loves me in the Lord, and I appreciate that very much. I think God's given us a wonderful leadership, and I'm so thankful just to be a part of it. We don't have a lot of time here, so I'm going to dive right into the message. Thank God for all of you teachers here that are serving the Lord and administration, and just you're doing a great work. It maybe goes unnoticed a lot of times, but the fruit of it, only eternity will tell, and I thank God for your service for the Lord. Have I told you Matthew 14 yet? Matthew chapter 14. Chapter 14, if you could give me just a little extra on this lapel mic. I brought the bass, just give me some treble, amen? Matthew chapter 14, that's perfect, thank you so much. Look down at verse 13. Upon hearing the news of John the Baptist, his head being cut off, and the martyrdom there of John the Baptist, we see Jesus heard of it, and he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus Christ, giving us a biblical example here, how he got apart into a desert place following a major loss. And here in just a moment, we'll see Jesus doing a major miracle. As he tried to get apart and get away, people began to follow him wherever he went, and his fame now beginning to increase in the earthly ministry of Christ. And as he was getting away from the multitudes began to follow him because he had the answer. Amen? And verse 16 says, Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The insufficiency of really what they had to offer. But Jesus said, bring them hither to me. And I think that's very fitting that he is the bread of life. And he is the answer. And he has all of what is necessary. And he brought the goods with him. But the order here, he commanded the multitude to sit down. He took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. Let me just read 2 more verses here, and then we'll go through the message. Verse 23, if we could. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Notice again, verse 13, he departed thence into by ship into a desert place apart. And then verse 23, it says he went up into a mountain apart once again to pray. So after a major loss, we see Jesus Christ getting apart and separating himself. Multitudes cling to him again. There's a great outpouring of love and demonstration of the power of God and feeding the multitudes with just such a small amount. And then we see him getting apart again after a major outpouring. And I think there's a biblical example here that we could follow as we need to get apart for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm needing Jesus to walk on the sea. Amen. Verse 25, it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." And I want to talk to you just for a moment today about being a night watchman. Being a night watchman, that's the call, that's the invitation that we be a night watchman. And I need, and I believe you and we need, Jesus to do some walking on the sea. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask God for your power and your help. Hide me behind the cross. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that this would not be a message that would glorify self, but it would be one that would point all of us to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the need of the hour. You are the one that needs to be high and lifted up. And I believe you will draw all men unto yourself. So may you outpour and do a work in our hearts so that we can be encouraged, edified, and exhorted to do more for you, Jesus. We love you in your precious name. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Our Lord gave us the example of getting apart here following a major loss. Even in recent days, Dr. Bobby Robertson taken home to be with the Lord. Other names, even Billy Graham in recent days. One thing I think to be important is that when the multitude that is following the men, I believe it's important that they are tied more to the message than to the men. Because there's going to come times when all of us have to depart on this side and we do our part. But our prayer ought to be that those that are following have been tied to the message of Christ and the message of the gospel and not just ourselves. Sharing this text here with another friend of mine. We like to share Bible thoughts, but he shared this meditation of this text with me. He said, you know, it seems as if at, following John's beheading, that we see the multitude following Jesus. And he said, I wonder if some of those were the followers of John now following Jesus. And he said, isn't it a neat thing how his departing, which is, you know, could be a sad thing, really led people to be closer to the Lord. And I thought that was a great thought there. And I hope we all can reflect that if the Lord sees fit to take us home one day, that people would draw nearer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ because of that departing. I recall when men of God in my life have been taken away. My pastor, Brother Eddie Joe Green, he was also my uncle, and the Lord saw fit to bring him home in his 60s, a little early in life, and how that made impact in my life, because I was just called to preach, and I was going, and I really cut my teeth in the ministry visiting my pastor and learning from him on his deathbed. My father, my dad, literally passed away in my arms, and I was close to my dad and loved my dad very much, and I didn't even realize how I was set up by God to be with him in that moment of his departing. I believe it made an extreme impact in my life that really resonates with my spirit and my soul even to this day. But I believe God used that event of my dad departing to bring me closer to Jesus Christ, because I believe the Lord will bring those that are solitary into himself and will be a father to you and will be close to you. I don't know if somebody in here today has had a major loss in your life and somebody that you were real dear to and close to has been pulled away from you, but I want to encourage you today that your anchor is in Jesus Christ and that he will stabilize you and he will draw you nearer to him if you'll just draw to him in these days and the this hour. Dr. Jack Hiles, we got Hiles Anderson College. His life and ministry made a major impact in my life. But following the days of his death, I remember the Lord led me into prayer and fasting for several days. And God ministered to me. Even upon the death of his own dad, as we know the story, God ministered to him and did a great work that nobody really can explain what all happened on his father's grave as he laid there mourning the loss of his dad. But that transfer of coming to Christ in the moments of our loss, I believe, is a very biblical event that all of us could learn from. Verse 23, though, is more honing in to where I'd like to get to today about the after following a great outpouring here is when he had sent the multitudes away. He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. I want to encourage you today about this thought of getting apart to pray. I believe this is my third time within the last 6 months or so speaking at college here, and God has led me each time at some angle or some way to come to you and talk to you about prayer and come and talk to you about getting close to the Lord. I think I'm preaching to the choir. I believe this is some of the greatest Christian servants on earth today, and I thank God for you. And I really don't see myself as a great prayer warrior, somebody that is exampling this and modeling this message the way I would like to, but I still believe that the Spirit of God is leading us, that we'd all, and preaching to myself today, we'd all draw near to God in the days that we're living in. I see the importance here as our Lord gave the example to get apart and to pray following a major outpouring. You see, we had 5,000 men besides women and children that were just fed with five loaves, two fishes, or maybe it was a couple biscuits and a can of sardines, you know, just a little bit that was there. But God did a great work with the little bit, because Jesus Christ is that bread of life, and he just said, bring them to me, I'll take care of it. Would you notice the order of what he did to that bread, though, that little bit that got into his hands? If you just view verse 19 just for a moment, keep your Bibles open for the entire message if you don't mind. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He brought order here. He took the five loaves, the two fishes. He looked up to heaven, and look at the order here. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave the loaves to his disciples. I see the process of this formula here of him breaking it and blessing it and dividing the pieces. Amen? He blessed it, he broked it, and he divided the pieces to the disciples so that they could get it to the multitude. I believe the Lord is doing similar activity in our own personal lives. And we all want that blessing, don't we? We all want the Lord to bless us. But I don't know if we want the whole process that goes. He blessed it, he broke it, and he divided the pieces. And I believe the Lord is going to use the brokenness in your life that's going to be a feeding to many people spiritually. So if you're doing everything that you believe you're supposed to do and still coming across trials and still going across tribulations and things that are troubling in your life, I want you to understand that God is not just in the business of just blessing, but he's also going to break so that he can divide and minister unto the multitudes. So the Lord is going to use that which is troubling you. God is going to take that which is a cross for you that you're carrying so that he could bless and use your life and use your testimony for his glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Following such a great outpouring of our Lord, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and he was there alone. Last time I spoke to you about the Lord's example prayer, and we see at the beginning parts of his prayer how he said, give us and forgive us and lead us and deliver us. And it seemed as if it was more of a corporate type prayer of the the groups coming together. And I believe that God blesses corporate prayers. Somebody say amen.
I mean, we even see the outpouring of the Spirit of God at Pentecost, how they were gathered together. They were in one accord, and they were praying. It was men and women together, and I believe there is a blessing that comes with that. However, I also think that there's times when God calls you alone into your prayer closet or into the place, your secret place, that we would enter into that moment with Him, and it's just us and God. And I believe that's an important time. Perhaps we could come to Him cooperatively if we can. And we could agree together that we're going to go to God in the midnight hours. Or we're going to go to God in the private watches of the night watches. And we're going to seek His face and come to Him. But I do believe that Lord wants us to enter into prayer. And sometimes it's not going to be with the group, but it's going to be just you and Him. If you follow the Lord's example, prayer after it deals with the group, it leads us into which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight. And so this is the wee hours, the night watches, if you will. Midnight enters into the third watch in biblical terms. Here we learn of the fourth watch, which is 3 a.m. in the morning to 6 a.m., beginning the early morning of the day. But this request here, friend, lend me three loaves. It just got through talking about give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us, all plural, right? But now talking about friend, lend me, singular, three loaves, for a friend of mine and his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And it's a singular there. So it lends to the fact to think that the Lord wants us to enter into prayer even when nobody else is around and we're not impressing anybody else. Nobody knows exactly what we're saying, but it's just us and the Lord coming to Him in prayer. I felt led of God to share this too, that there's times in the wee hours of the night when I'm praying to Him. I don't think it's all about how much I'm saying to Him or how impressive the words are. To me, it would be pretty embarrassing to think of how weak at times my prayers are to Him and how unprofessional and how non-eloquent. But I just come to God and say, Lord, I need You. I'm in a moment of distress or at a moment of need, and I'm coming to You, God, and I ask You to bless this situation and talk to Him about people that are in dire needs. I'm not one that has the longest prayer list. Some of you are have much character, and you come to God with this impressive list and all of the different needs, but there's just sometimes it's just me and the Lord, and I'm just sharing what's on my heart, what's burdening me, and talk to Him and outpour really transparency to God about what I'm going through at that moment or what somebody else is in need of. I just think about last night. I remember God brought to my mind and attention, and my wife's as well, about 2 in the morning, that Dan Daniels was in need of prayer, and we called out on God to help Brother Dan Daniels and Miss Carolyn. We didn't say anything impressive. It wasn't really too scripted, but there was a brother that's in critical condition that needed somebody to call out on him, and we just called his name out to the throne of God. I believe that there could be better prayers, maybe under the sound of my voice, if some of you just would get up off of your bed at night and just go to the Lord. I believe you could bring something better than I could, but I'd like to encourage you to please do so, and let's call out the night watchman that we would come to God in prayer in the near future. I believe there's significance in the timing here of our Lord as He was there alone. Really, the very purpose of this message is to call out those of you that are men and women in here, not just the men, but the ladies and men, that we would be watchmen of the night and call out to God in the wee hours. I believe there's significant things that God has done in the night watches as we look at biblical examples. A call for night watch prayer warriors, if you will. There's a fourth watch miracle that Jesus did right in our text, verse 25, if you just look at it just for a moment. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I don't believe it was a mistake here that the fourth watch was mentioned. A fourth watch miracle of Jesus walking on the water is no mistake. The fact that the hour is late in the scope of prophecy is no surprise. I don't think That it's really a secret in here to think that we're in the wee hours of the morning prophetically. That Jesus is coming soon. I know we've been saying it for years. I know the word has went out many times that God is coming back. We've been in the last days since the book of Acts. Acts 2:16 and 17. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So it talks about in the last days, and that was somewhat or in part fulfilled there. Hebrews 1:2 says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." I believe God has made it clear we're in that moment of the wee hours of the morning, and Jesus is near. Amen. But there's also some lies of the hour, if we will, considering the Laodicean age. There's some that teach us that really that there's no good thing that could happen in the last days, really. You know, it's all going to be doom and gloom and nothing good's going to come out of it. And I believe it's true that evil men will wax worse and worse. And there's no doubt that in the later moments of the hour that it's getting dark, it's getting evil and it's wicked. But I'm still believing that God can do something even in the day and hour in which we live. I don't think Jesus is done. Amen. I'm believing that Jesus' return is nearer and nearer. As we see things worse and worse, it's nearer and nearer. However, the backdrop of darkness is just a sure way to broadcast the light, if you will. The darker it gets in our day, the more of a radiance that the light will shed off if God's people, which are called by His name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. I believe God can do something in these days that are great. I believe we could have more than just the backslidden, cold, dry churches that are doing nothing for God. I think we could have some on fire of soul winning, bus running, sin hating, God loving, devil stomping, Christ honoring churches that could do something for the cause and glory of God. I believe we could be filled with the Spirit of God. I believe we could be on fire for Jesus Christ. And I believe God could do something great even in the stress of times that we live in. Just in the need of the hour, just 2 miles from Disneyland or Disney World, whatever it's called out in California, local governments in the state of California are gathering together in Orange County trying to remove literally tons of trash and hazardous waste. These are news clips just from recent days talking about the need of the hour. They literally bought trash trucks into Orange County, California, and removed 250 tons of trash off of this common walkway near Disneyland out there. They have removed 1,100 pounds of human waste and over 5,000 hypodermic needles from the homeless people that are on the streets in California. I'd say that there's a great need in the days that we live to get God helping us to do something in the dark times that we're in. They say that California represents 25% of the nation's homeless population. And while I've always thought of California, the beautiful weather, the beautiful sceneries, but you know what? There's people that need the Lord, and somebody's got to get on fire to do something for God all across the world. In New Jersey, where Governor Chris Christie was the governor, just February 21st, this article come out, where the new governor, Phil Murphy, is now in position and signed into law that day of February 21st, 2018, $7.5 million to go into America's largest abortion company, Planned Parenthood. And he said, "Today we're saying in a clear voice that New Jersey will once again stand for the right things." And I say that's the wrong things. And we need God to get us on fire to do something, to speak up for those that are hurting and those that can't speak for themselves and get the gospel to the lost. Mike Pence, our president, a vice president, said that life is winning in America once again. And he went on to talk about the Mexico City policy to to prevent American tax dollars from funding organizations that promote or perform abortions. And this was in a news article in recent days, and I won't take time to read it all, but they were doing something to try to fight for the cause of life. And he said, he stressed that opposition is always looking for ways to undo their achievements. I mean, there is such a war in the heavenlies these days. There is such a fight with the principalities and the rulers of darkness of this world. But there's also the people of God that are praying, that are getting on fire for Jesus. And I'm saying we are in the fight of our lives. And I'm calling on the night watchman that we will go to God and begin to pray, because the greatest efforts of war that we can do is in the prayer closet of our lives, going to Jesus Christ. Because I believe in the night watch, in the fourth watch, we can see Jesus doing some walking on water. I believe that God can do it in the times that we live. If not only are the Laodicean thinking about, there's a laziness of peril in the late hour, if we will. Because if you'll notice, the natural tendency in the late hour is to sleep. Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's in my bones, it's in my blood that I'm more. I have a tendency to want to sleep in the wee hours. But what that means for us spiritually is that we need to wake up. Amen. The awakening need of the day and the awakening hour that God is calling on us is to get up and rise up to the occasion and come to God. And maybe we not only fast some hamburgers, but we fast some sleep, and we go to God in these night watches and call on the God of heaven and ask Him to sincerely do something great in these days. Our own pastor is calling on us at noon and at 4 to pray for a revival in America. I'd like to call on you at midnight and at 3 in the morning. Would you consider now and then getting up and calling on God to do something in the hour that we live in? An awakening is needed with God's people, and our God's people are asleep. The call, however, though, is for us to wake up. Amen. Soon before Jesus Christ was crucified, He rose up from prayer and was come to His disciples, and He found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And I would have liked to come to you on this day in 2018 and say, "Why sleep ye? Would you rise up and pray and ask God to do something in the days that we live in for His cause and for His glory?" I believe Jesus' hour of return is so soon. It's an imminent return that He's coming quickly, and we are to look for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until that moment, with God's people, watchmen, night watchmen, begin to pray, because I believe it was the night watch prayer that preceded the walking on the water miracle. I believe the invitation is this: do we want Jesus to walk on water to rescue us from the stormy sea? Oh, I don't want to discourage you today, my friends. Really, in the context, it was Jesus Christ, His faith. He was God going to the Father in prayer. But, you know, really, the disciples were out at sea, and they were in the storm, and they were in the wilderness. They were in the darkness. They were discombobulated, much like many of us are. But I know this. I'm excited about the fact that Jesus will come walking on the water in the fourth watch. And the night watch prayer ushered in this notable, miraculous water walking miracle. Many of us want the water walking miracles, but we don't want the all night prayer with Jesus Christ. Just a little talk with Jesus is not going to be enough for this moment. We need to get an all night prayer with Jesus. Amen. A boisterous sea was the conditions. A dark night. Often when I think of Jesus walking on the water, I almost picture a small lake like out in front of Hiles Anderson, in a little pond, in a little boat. But really, they were at sea, and they were several miles, according to many writers, up to 3, 4, 5 miles off from shore. But Jesus still came walking on the water. Can Jesus do something great in the night watches? I believe he can. Biblical strategic events have taken place in the night watches many times. Jacob wrestled with God, seeking a touch of blessing in Genesis 32 in the night watch. Moses led Israelites across the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14 in the night watch. Gideon defeated the Midianites in the night watch in Judges chapter 7. Angels announced the birth of Jesus in the night watch. Jesus resurrected from the dead in the night watch. The bridegroom in the parable comes for his bride in the night watch. Though we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus Christ is returning, I believe God does not want us to sleep and to slumber, but he wants there to be an awakening and a realization that he is real and that God is coming. Amen. I'd like to close just with a story real quick of, please don't power break. I had a 1969 Chevrolet Camaro, my first car that I ever owned. It had a 350, and man, that thing was built and hot rodded up. Had the cam, and it was a powerful, awesome car. And I got to tell on myself just a little bit. I was 16 years old, and we would go cruising, okay? I wasn't at Hiles Anderson College until 27, okay? This happened earlier on in my life. But we would go cruising, and we would be at the night watches, and it wasn't praying, okay? And we'd go across this parking lot, got the movie theater, got an old shopping center, and then I think it's a Burger King down at the bottom of the parking lot. So every time I go by this group of guys, they kept saying, hey, burn those wheels, spin those tires, let it rip, man. And I just sort of shake my head and doo-doom, 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 you know, just going by and passing by. But, you know, I finally got tired of them making fun of me. I said, you know what, next time I go around those guys, I am going to forevermore drop the pedal of this car, and I'm going to show them what this thing has got. And I circled around Burger King. I'm trying to rush so I could get up done here. But as I begin to go up this hill, coming back down the straightaway to cruise by this group, I dropped the clutch, man. I was like, wah, 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 wah. And I dropped the clutch, and I mean, I lit those tires up and just literally smoke going up in the air. But to really make the effect good, I stomped down on the brake pedal and kept the foot floored on the gas pedal. So, I mean, it literally brought the front tires down, rear end lifting up. And I mean, I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm literally changing gears so I don't blow up my engine. And I'm just letting it go. This thing began to get into a slide, barely moving, going forward. And I mean, I'm just literally lighting it up, going all the way across this parking lot. And what that is called is power braking, if you will. And I power braked all that horsepower that would have liked to help me get up and go. I was power braking just for all show, if you will. And just to give you the whole story here, before long, the smoke was filled in the car. It was way up in there. I couldn't see anybody. And I'm just like, yeah, woo, you know, and just letting it go. But somebody had to interrupt the whole fun of everything that was going on. And it was like blue lights going off in the smoke, you know. I felt like I was at a disco, man. I mean, it was like, woo, woo. It was going. I mean, the police officer had to get out with a flashlight to find my car and said, boy, you better have a blank, you know, good excuse for what you just did, you know. And he went off on me. Long story short, I went to jail. And the guys that were trying to get me to do what I did was doing what you're doing right now, laughing like crazy as I went to jail. The whole moral of the story is, though, you know what I was doing? I was power braking. Oh, I believe God wants to move in our lives, and the Holy Ghost of God is wanting to move through us, but I believe we're power braking. All that power of God to do something great in these days, and Jesus walking on water and doing great miracles for him, and we're power braking. I'd just like to encourage the night watchman, would you consider coming to him and praying? Amen.